coming. We're going to be starting a new topic today. The previous topic we talked about was the maximum amount of tzedakah. Now we're going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum, talk about the minimum amount. So as we had said in the Shulchan Aruch, the minimum amount is a third of a shekel over the course of a year. So we're going to learn about where that comes from and what that basically means.
Could you put that in common day terms as to what a shekel is?
Right. So that's also going to be part of our discussion, okay. which is not only.
If you cut it in one third, it's not going to be very good.
Shekel is Haiti, not Zuri.
Look, you're not careful. I'll give you two bits.
So I just as a spoiler, we're not going to get to it today, but I think the consensus of the poskim is that it's probably around, I think, like $50 or something like that. But that'll be a discussion. It's not only important for this, for tzedakah, it's important for all mitzvos that have monetary amounts.
Including
the ksuba. Ksuba, talking about pidyon haben.
Pidyon haben.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of ramifications. Okay. The source for...
I just watched a wedding on a live stream from okay. Israel, and they were reading the ksuba, and of course it's different than what we have, and it had a real amount in there.
Right.
The prince also Sfaradim or Ashkenazim.
Right, Sfaradim put in...
seen Ashkenazim
also. Oh, Ashkenazim also do it that way? Yeah. Interesting, I didn't know that. Okay. Cool.
Not every. I mean, I've seen that.
Interesting. Okay. So, are the source for?
I think this was a mixed marriage.
Ah. Okay. So the
Sfaradim. That's almost as bad as a Litvak and a Glitziana.
Okay.
Well, before we get to that, what we have to understand is kind of where this shear comes from. Where this amount of a third of a shekel comes from. The source is a Gemara in Bava Basra. So if you're looking on the first page with the Tzur Sadaf, with the page of the Gemara itself, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's 11 wide lines down. First word on the line is low. We're going to start from Amar of Asi if you're using the art scroll. So it's on the next two pages. The order is flipped. The copier. Le'olam lo yimna adam atzma. So we're going to be starting on the art scroll on 9A3, the last paragraph.
You know the Ramban. He corrected himself about the shekel, right?
Yes, that was one of the times where he said, I went to Israel and I was off.
So beautiful.
Yeah, so Mirza Hashem will get to that. It was almost Parsha Shkalim, so I'm trying to space out the shiurim. So
the diversity of a man, you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. No, he was willing to admit when he saw that he was wrong. So just as a bit of context, the Gemara in Bava Basra right before this was talking about the halachos of disbursement of tzedakah, meaning when somebody comes to the town, what do you give them? We'll get to that in another topic as how do we allocate money. But it says is that if somebody's collecting money and you know that they're going to get from other sources, from the community, even if they knock on your door, you should give them a little bit of something. You should give them a dollar or whatever. Then, and that's called matana mu'etas, you should give them a small gift because, you know, that's really what the mitzvah is, even though the financial needs are being taken care of elsewhere. Then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Asi, said, le'olam al yimne adam atzmo milaseis shlishis hashekel b'shana. A person should never hold themselves back from giving a third of a shekel per year. Shenemar, we learn it from a pasuk. We'll see the pasuk in broader context afterwards. This is a pasuk from Nehemiah, and this is talking about after the Jewish people sort of re-entered into a covenant and commitment to Torah Judaism, and they enacted a number of takanos, a number of rules to sort of guide the community. So one of them is, V'ha'amidenu aleinu mitzvah. We accepted on ourselves as a mitzvah, laseis aleinu shlishis hashekel bashana, to give for us a third of a shekel per year, la'avodas beis elokeinu, for the service of the house of Hashem, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash. So the simple interpretation of this pasuk is what? That the Beis HaMikdash needed money, had operating costs. And so everybody said, you know, if we're part of Torah Judaism, we're pledging to give a third of a shekel per year. They were very poor. So they pledged to give a third of a shekel to keep things running.
So what about the
machlokes? Ah, okay. So that is a machlokes in the mefarshim. We will start getting to that today.
By the way, it's not from the Takanot Ezra. The lo meser Takanot Ezra.
Correct. No, this has nothing to do with Takanot. Yeah, this has nothing. Yeah, this has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's also that's a great question. So what happened to machzis hashekel? We'll get to that. Then we have another statement from Ravasi. V'amar Ravasi, shkula tzedaka keneged kol ha-mitzvos. Tzedaka is such a great thing. We go back to the other page, if you're in the art scroll. It's equivalent to all the other mitzvos, shenemar, from the same pasuk, v'ha-amidenu aleinu mitzvos. V'hamadnu, sorry, aleinu mitzvos. Mitzvah en ksiv, ela mitzvos. It's written in the plural. So we accepted on ourselves basically all the mitzvos. So there's a that's it. That's the end of the Shulchan of the Gemara. Now, if you or I would be writing the Shulchan Aruch, so we would have to take this halacha and turn it into a rule. So if it were me, it would be a pretty easy job. I would literally just copy and paste. La'olam al yimna adam atzmo mi lasei shlishis hashekel bashana. A person should never hold back from giving a third. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. If you turn all the way to the last double-sided page, it's the first side though. So source number 2 is the Shulchan Aruch, Resh Mem Tes Sif Beis. La'olam lo yimne adam atzmo pachas mishlishis hashlek el hashana. Okay, so far so good. V'im nasan pachos mizeh lo kayim mitzvas tzedaka. So the Shulchan Aruch editorializes. We'll see, part of our job today will be to try to figure out where he gets that from. It's right over, it's on this side. Yeah, source 2.
Oh, okay.
So the Shulchan Aruch adds a phrase and says that if you don't do this, you did not fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, had it been me, I would have said, maybe you do. Like, what is the mitzvah of tzedakah? The mitzvah of tzedakah is to give tzedakah. So,
even if it's a
prut, even if it's a little something. The Gemara says, oh, by the way, there's this important rule that you should always give a third. Okay, so there's an inyan, there's a special idea to give a third. If I don't, though, I still fulfilled the mitzvah, theoretically, if that's all I can afford. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to say otherwise. So that will also, that's going to be part of what we do today. And the other part is to essentially ask a couple of questions on this Gemara. So one of them was already mentioned, which is, what was going on there? They accepted on themselves to give a third of a shekel, but we also have this mitzvah of machzis hashekel. So where does that fit in? Is this the same thing? Is it different? Is this a substitute? Where does that come from? So that's another question that we have to deal with. A third question, this is a little bit technical, but it's the first word that Ravasi says, la'olam. So in Gemara, the connotation of la'olam almost means like, you know, the previous, we're trying to dispel a certain notion. We're trying to obviate a certain idea. We're saying, really, it's like this. Yeah, we're contrasting with something, but there's nothing to contrast it with over here because it's a standalone statement. We have two statements of Ravasi. So a lot of the Mefarshim struggle with what exactly are we trying to contrast it with, based on the context. So we're supposed to give a poor person just a little bit of something. So maybe it's that even if you're giving them a little bit of something, over the entire year, it has to add up to a third of a shekel. Maybe it's that. But Ravasi, like the Gemara, the way the Gemara is written is not the way it was played out in the Beis Medrash. Right? The way it was played out in the Beis Medrash, you had people talking to each other. Here, it's written as a dialogue, but it's not real time. These are multiple generations mm-hmm. talking to each other that were stitched together by later editors. Mm-hmm. So Rav Asi's statement of La'olam isn't necessarily going on the previous topic that I mentioned. So that's another question that the Mefarshim deal with. The most important question, though, which I'm surprised none of you guys asked, is what are we talking about, Staka? What is the pasuk in Nehemiah talking about? Beit HaMikdash. Right, Bedek HaBayis is giving something for the operational cost of the Beit HaMikdash. One has nothing to do with the other. So maybe you guys are all thinking, well, we've spoken about all this overlap, so clearly that has to be the case. The question is, though, how do we understand that?
But aren't they using the Beit HaMikdash as a basis for how much you're supposed to give for tzedakah?
So you're suggesting, and we'll see, some people do suggest this, that you're right. The Pasuk is talking about, again, this is a historical event. So what did the people in Nehemiah's time take upon themselves? So maybe they took upon themselves both giving to the Beis HaMikdash and giving tzedakah, or maybe it was just giving to the Beis HaMikdash, and later sages said, hey, that's a good idea, let's expand that. Yeah. So if you say that, then that makes our first question even harder, which is, how could you not fulfill the mitzvah? The sages basically said, oh yeah, it's a nice idea what the Jews did to the Beis HaMikdash, so now we'll take that and say, you don't fulfill your mitzvah if you give it less. So the more you make it later and less connected to the Beis HaMikdash, the harder it becomes to say, wow, if I don't give that amount, I didn't do a mitzvah. So that's I guess one of the other questions that we have to deal with.
Why would that make it less of a? Hey guys, you're giving half a shekel, machas shekel, for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, tzedakah, you're going to give that. If it takes then, or it happened 100 years later, what difference does it really make?
So you're correct that technically there shouldn't be any difference. I guess what I'm saying is that the language of the Navi, or the Pasuk, is that this was a communal acceptance of a takana, of a mitzvah, or whatever it is. They accepted on themselves. Who says subsequent generations accepted anything upon anybody? This seems to be some, like, later generation rabbi that said, hey, let's use this. Like Rav Asi just said, hey, this looks like a nice Pasuk to
use.
So again, I'm not saying you're wrong, but that makes it more of a stretch. So now, before we get into the Rishonim, let's just look at the Navi itself. So I photocopied some excerpts from Nehemiah. So if you turn past the art scroll, this is from Perek Yud of Sefer Nehemiah.
26. Rabbi, is there a special alchet for plagiarism?
I'm sure we can find one. So we're going to start from Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. So actually, let's go back up one. It's 29. U'sha'ar ha'am ha'kohanim ha'leviyim ha'sho'arim ha'mishorim ha'nesinim v'chol ha'nivdal me'ame ha'aratzos el toras ha'elokim nishayim b'neihem uvinoseihem kol yodeya mevin. So everybody was gathered together. Kohanim, Leviim, all the people that had some functions in the Beis HaMikdash that had separated from their intermarried wives, their intermarried families. They came to the Torah. So what did they do? So that is a shir for another time. We have to. That's the fourth parak of Kiddushin. We're not learning that now. It's a good question. It's a very good question. But we can't talk about that now. It's too long. Let's go to Pasuk Lamed. Machzikim alacheihem adirehem. They held with their brethren, their noblemen. Uvaim be'ola ubishvua. They entered into a curse and an oath. Leleches b'toras Elokim, to follow Hashem's Torah, asher nitna biyad Moshe eved ha'elokim, that was given to the hand of Moshe, the servant of Hashem, v'lishmor v'lasos es kol mitzvos Hashem adoneinu u'mishpatav v'chukav, and to follow all of Hashem's laws. And
what's the curse?
So, right, so the Navi itself doesn't say. The Mefarshim, I think, have two different pshatim. One pshat is basically like, you know, we just said we're going to make a curse, just like in Sefer Dvarim, Hashem says when you come into the land of Israel, you go to Har Grizim and Har Evel, and you'll say, blessed is somebody who does this, and cursed is somebody who does that. So that's one pshat. The other pshat is that we're saying that there's a curse. The other pshat is that, no, we're hearkening back to a previous curse that was mentioned. Then, in addition to all the mitzvahs in the Torah, it says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Asher lo nitein b'noseinu la'am he'aretz ves b'noseim lo nikach livoneinu. We're not going to intermarry. So what does that sound like? Again, not for total shir for another time, but what does that sound like? We made an oath to keep all the mitzvahs of Hashem and not to intermarry. So what does that sound like?
They were terribly intermarried at the time they came back.
Right, so it could be that just they're singling it out because that was a very egregious, prevalent sin. Or it could be that maybe it's not so simple that intermarriage is actually biblically forbidden. We'll
That's another shear.
That's, again, another shear. But try to point a pasuk to me. Open up a chumash, if you ever want a good challenge, open up a chumash and find a pasuk that says that you can't marry someone who's not Jewish. Not specific nations, but open up.
Not specific.
Right, not specific nations. There's certain ones that the Torah says you can't. Yeah. But
what's Lotus Chatein about?
That's about the seven nations of Canaan.
He's not counting that. He's not counting.
He's saying excluding that.
Meaning
more general. Oh,
excluding.
You know, like, yeah, excluding. You're going to have to work really, really hard.
Okay.
Pasuk Lamed Beis.
What about Abraham? He didn't want Yitzhak to marry outside the faith.
What was the faith then? As he said, what is the faith? And number two, you never heard of a father who said to his daughter or a son, you will not marry, Litvak will not marry a Glitziana? Where does it say that?
So, you know, again, you're all correct. This is clearly not what the Torah wants. But to find an actual love takes a lot of thumb twisting. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Va'amei ha'aretz ha'meviyam es ha'makochos v'chol shever b'yom ha'shabbos limkor lo nikach mehem b'shabbos uv'yom kodesh. And for all the amei ha'aretz, the people that aren't really super committed, who bring merchandise and grain on Shabbos to sell, we're not going to buy from them. And we're not going to buy from them on Yomim Tovim. V'nitoshes hashana hashviyas umasa kol yad. And we're going to keep Shemitah and forgive loans. So these are things that basically people were being lax in at this point. And in fact, if you ever want to learn about the history of Muktzah, this is where it comes from. There were various stages to the creation of Muktzah. At first, you couldn't basically touch anything that wasn't food-related. And then they slowly rolled it back to what it looks like now, according to the Gemara, that darshans it from Sukkim in Nehemiah. And then we come to our pasuk, Lamed Gimel. V'he'emadnu aleinu mitzvos, and we set upon ourselves either a commandment or commandments, laseis aleinu shlishis ha'shekel bashana, to give a third of a shekel per year, la'avodas beis elokeinu, for the service of the temple of Hashem. And then it says, well, what does it go for? Here's what it goes for. So we're not going to read all of this because you could just read it in the English. It says lechem hapanim, daily meal offerings, burnt offerings, musaf stuff. And then in Pasuk 35, it talks about wood offerings, etc. And then in Pasuk Lamed Vav, it goes to, it talks about bikurim, that we're going to bring bikurim. And we're going to bring Bechorim, the firstborns, and we're going to basically do all this stuff. We're going to recommit ourselves to Hashem, we're going to recommit ourselves to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to recommit ourselves to the Kohanim and Leviim.
It's a select list, and B, if it refers to all the mitzvos, that's in the middle, it's not at the end.
Right. Yeah, so it's structured very interestingly. If you look, there's a transition that goes from general Torah and mitzvos to specific timely things, to Beis HaMikdash, and then to Kohanim and Leviim. That's the train of thought that Nehemiah is trying to bring the people into. And, I mean, I guess if you're trying to come up with, like, a rationale for that, like, you start off with, like, the most universally easy or accepted as, yeah, we're going to commit ourselves to Hashem. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, I want to do what Hashem wants. Then it gets a little bit more specific to some of the timely stuff, like, okay, all right, they're pushing me on this. We had a whole asifa about this. We had a whole gathering about this. So we'll do that. Then I got to start giving donations to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, fine. What's not to like about the Beis HaMikdash? Now I got to give it to Larry the Kohen. Okay, fine. You worked me up. Once you got the foot in the door, it makes it more palatable. Maybe that's the rationale. There's different interpretations as to kind of the structure of it. But what do we see from here? We see from here that these were a list of commitments that Nehemiah wanted to make for the Jewish people. And the purpose of this Shlishis HaShekel was for just temple operating costs. Now, at the same time, some of those things, or many of those things, were stuff that the Machzis HaShekel was supposed to be covering. Exactly. Why do we bring a Machzis HaShekel? Machzis HaShekel is for karbanos, communal offerings. That's not everything on this list, but many things, if you look in Pasuk Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey. So a lot of the Mefarshim here try to figure out, what are we talking about? So now turn to the source, to the last double-sided page, so the first side of it. We're going to look at source number 8. So this is the Eben Ezra there. So the Eben Ezra says, Shlishis HaShekel, Nosaf al machzis hashekel letzorecha in yonim hanizkarim. So he says that they needed an additional. Exactly. So a lot of people here live in condos or HOAs and stuff like that. So there's an assessment. So they did an assessment, and apparently things cost more. So that's the pshat of the Eben Ezra, that there was an assessment going on. Now look in source, turn the page. Look at source number 10. So this is the Malbim. The Malbim says, Shlishis HaShekel, Nosaf HaMachzis HaShekel, also in addition, but he says, why? She'oz nishtane hamatbeya, because the coinage changed. U'shlishis HaShekel, haya kimachzis HaShekel hakodem. So this goes into a very broad topic, which if you guys want to get into, we can go through this whole sugya. But the Gemara has a whole discussion, learning from different psukim and Navi, about how basically inflation and coinage worked from the first Beis HaMikdash and second Beis HaMikdash. And so the Malbim, he references psukim and Malachim and Yechezkel, basically saying that there had been inflation. And so because of that, they needed to up the donation level. So he writes it in a funny way of Nosif al Machtis HaShekel. But he's basically saying that total of a half a shekel plus a third of a shekel equals what the real half a shekel is. Exactly. Then if you go to the next chat in source number 11, so this is the Hoil Moshe. I believe he was like a Rishon that lived in Rome in the 13th century. So he says, Shlishis achshav shehayu aniyim. So he says the exact opposite. He says that the people were so poor they couldn't even afford to give a half. So Nehemiah said, look, okay, you guys can't give a half. At the very least, you can give a third. So do that. And then when things get better, you'll up it to a half.
So a third is rolled of a half.
Yeah, so maybe that's where he was coming from. Or?
Is that where you're coming from?
It could be. I don't know. He doesn't explain. Maybe that was just literally all they could give. I have no idea. If you say this pshat, though, then this is temporary. So what does this have to do with tzedakah at all? So it could be that the Chachamim said, look, at very, very austere times, this is what they demanded of people. So now, if you have a really poor person that's also living under as difficult economic conditions as the people in Bayis Sheni at the beginning of the Second Temple, at the very least, you can give a third just like they did. So I guess that's what you would have to say. Now, if you turn back to source number 9, the Ralbag, he also says something similar, but he has a whole long theory about why things deteriorated. He says, Ra'oi sheteda shehashekel hazeh hayo yoser godel me hashekel hanizkar batorah. You should know that this is an inflated shekel. Not an inflated shekel, it was worth more, rather. Sorry.
That's why you ask him, that shekel tzuri or lo.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. It sounds like that it was shekel. It sounds like that it's shekel tzuri from the Gemara. I don't know actually whether they had Tyrian coins then, but that's what the Gemara says. Anyway, he says vilaze hispik.
The Gemara says sela sela tzuri v'sela yisraeli sela tzuri u'min kesef u'min nechoshesh.
Nachon, the Gemara in Bechoro says that we're talking about Kesef Tzuri. The question is historically whether that's true or not. Meaning, the Gemara might be talking about when the Jewish community was further settled. It might not have been talking about specifically at that point. Vilazeh hispik lahem shlishis hashekel liyoso kimo machtis hashekel shetzivsa haTorah. So he says the exact opposite. It wasn't because they were poor. It was because, actually, there was deflation that went on. So now, a third of a shekel equals a half. Ukvar nisbor b'parshas kisisa, and we explained in Parshas Kisisa, shezeh ha-kesef hayanosun al avodas ohel moed, lasos mimeno kol korbanos tzibor, v'chol hamlocha tzricha b'beis hamikdash. So we already know that this amount was being used to cover the operating costs of the Beis HaMikdash and the Karbanos.
Yeah, but it was a much larger group of people.
Correct. Correct.
You had, I don't know how you want to count the people who went on Mitzrayim, either 600,000, just the men, or 2 million, if you want to count.
Yeah, correct. So
what are you referring to? What are you referring about counting with shekelim and not counting?
He's saying that they just had a larger revenue.
Half a shekel out of 600,000 people is a lot more than a third of a shekel, even if it's inflated, etc. From how many people came up from Babel?
30,000.
Yeah, no, yeah. A fraction.
Yeah, very small fraction, 5%.
So you're right. That it wasn't that they had to stretch, and he mentions that. He says uba avur shelo tishpas avoda, and because they didn't want the avoda to stop of Eis HaMikdash, he pal nugo rolos al karbon ha'etzim. They drew lots. The people had to donate wood, meaning they couldn't even afford to bring wood, so they had to basically say, okay, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Like the shkalim wouldn't cover it. Ratzalomar shektzasim hayu meviim sham etzim beEis HaMikdash. Uktasim be'es acher b'derech shaya hadavar mugbal lahaboim sham leitim mizumanim umugvalim ba'ofen shelo yichasru sham etzim letzarech hamarachas asher alam esbech. So they set up a system that there would always be wood. V'yidme, and I think shagam bazesh shkagu be'itim hakodmim, that they made this mistake in earlier times. V'kashru atzmam gam kein lases matnos kahuna ulevia b'derech shiyu akohanim v'aleviim lavod avodas hamikdash. And so he says, if you look in the rest of the Navi, they also pledged to bring all this stuff. It sounds like that people were remiss earlier in giving all that stuff also. So when they saw that they weren't being taken care of, they all just abandoned the Beis HaMikdash. V'hine zachru bazeh hamakom, Mimatnos kahuna bikurim ubechoros adam ubechoros behemet tameo tahora v'chalu trumas meiser umeiser minha meiser. That's why this navi mentions all this other stuff, because apparently they weren't giving that either. Sheyikhu hakohanim mimaser halavim v'tiknu sheyaviu lakohanim kol elu hamatanos bebeis elokim. So Nehemia said, instead of just going around to people, we're going to centralize the operation. Bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, so now everybody will know that everybody's bringing, and that will incentivize the Kohanim and Leviim to come to the Beis HaMikdash.
By the way, Kohanim Tirim Natesh.
Nachon, yes, yeah, Kohanim also have to.
Yeah.
Kidei shelo yazvu Kohanim avoda lachzar alagranos lakachas hatrumos v'hamaisrus, because we don't want the Kohanim abandoning the Beis HaMikdash to go around collecting. So what this sounds like from all of these mefarshim, we'll see the Ramban in Shmos another time, but what we see from all of these mefarshim is that this was either supplemental or was itself the Machtzis HaShekel, and the reason why we needed this Takana is not to create something new, but simply to say, hey, look, this is the reality. Either that prices have changed, or that we got to up operational costs, or nobody's bringing it anyway, so we just have to reinforce our commitment. None of this has to do with just voluntary tzedakah, with just giving to poor people. So the question then becomes, well, how do we get it from there? So now let's see what the Mefarshim on the Gemara say. So go to source number 3. This is Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom was Rebbe's grand Rebbe, so to speak. He was the Rebbe of Rashi's Rebbeim. So he wrote a very, very short commentary to Bava Basra. He says, Mishlish HaShekel, Bitzdaka, you have to give it to Tzedaka. And what does La'avodas Elokeinu mean? Ainu Tzedaka. And that's it. He doesn't say anything else. So it's rather unclear what Rabbeinu Gershom means. It could mean that La'avodas Beis Elokeinu sort of is Tzedaka, meaning maybe this is in addition to the Machzis HaShekel, because it's not going to cut it. We need to supplement. And that supplement is Tzedaka. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is poor. The Kohanim and Levim are poor. So we got to give tzedakah for them. That's one possible explanation, that giving to the Beis HaMikdash is tzedakah. Now that has important ramifications. Is giving to a shul or giving to a yeshiva, is that tzedakah or not? Now a yeshiva might be different because I'm covering the costs of other kids that can't afford it. But to a shul is just to pay the bills. Is that called tzedakah or not? Maybe, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, it is.
This is the same Rabbeinu Gershom that made the
takanos. Yeah. No. This is something much earlier. This is just him explaining. So that's one chat. That maybe that was considered tzedakah. Another way to read Rabbeinu Gershom, though, and this is a much more, mainstream way to read it, is that the modern analog to Avodas Beis Elokeinu is tzedakah. Now, if you look in source number five, so the Marsha says something similar to that. So he says, "Afal gav de leinyan karbonos boy chatzis shekel b'chol shana ka'amar hacha ditzdakah dam yatvei lekedushas bedek habayis davei kedushas damim v'sagi b'shlisha shekel." So the Marsha says that it's similar to it. Even though they have to give a half a shekel for karbanos, we said a third of a shekel because that kind of calculates what the operational costs of the Beis HaMikdash were, and that's what it's most similar to. So according to this way of reading the Gemara,
The way I read it, Rabbi, it means similar, but additional.
Right, correct, meaning we're not copying Machtes HaShekel, we're copying this other thing because it's more similar. We're copying the Bedek HaBayis donation of a third of a shekel because that's more similar. So that's another way you could also read Rabbeinu Gershom, that it's the modern analogy of giving to the Beis HaMikdash is giving to poor people because we're giving it away for a holy purpose. So that's kind of the way to read Rabbeinu Gershom. Tosfos, though, has a very different interpretation. If you look in source number 4, Tosfa says, "Va'afal gav dehay kra gabe beis elokeinu k'siv." Even though this is talking about Hashem's house, dehaynu bedek habayis kol shekein tzedakah. Tosfa says this pasuk had never had anything to do with tzedakah. What did the rabbis see from here? They said, "Oh, if they worked so hard and forced people to give to the Beis HaMikdash, then obviously you should be giving that, if not more, to poor people. It's a kal v'chomer." Now, according to Tosfos, then, this was something that was clearly created later, but also, I don't need a source anymore, meaning it's a kal v'chomer from this event. This also has important ramifications, and we'll talk about this when we get to priorities in tzedakah. So what does that sound like? If you only have a third of a shekel, do I give it to the Beis HaMikdash or to the poor people, according to Tosfos?
Tzedakah.
Right, we should give it to the poor people because it's a kol shekein. Mm-hmm. So nowadays, when we have priorities, so we want to build a shul, and we have poor people in the community, who takes precedence? So that is a huge machlokas haposkim about communal infrastructure, religious communal infrastructure, lay communal infrastructure versus poor people. So this Tosfos will come back, but according to Tosfos, that's how we learn it out. The Ritva, he talks about that word la'olam. So the Ritva says, la'olam al yimne adam atzmo, in source number 6, mishlishis ashekel b'chol shana, pirish la'olam. What the word la'olam means, v'afilu leka aniyim ba'asre, even if there are no aniyim around, yitnenu la'aniya ir acheres, I gotta go to another city to give my money. V'hu keneged chatzi hashekel, and so he echoes one of the pshatim we had earlier about inflation, that this is to parallel that machtzis hashekel that got inflated, or that got increased in value to a third of a shekel.
Is there a priority of Israel versus Europe?
Yeah, so we'll see that also, that when you're not talking about your city, then Yerushalayim and Israel take precedence over other diaspora communities. What we've basically talked about now is, I would say, the Ashkenazi and Iberian school of thought, for lack of a better term, meaning you have the Ritva, and you have Tosfos, and you have Rabbeinu Gershom, who all basically say, this was a takana that you're supposed to do. It does not, there is no mention at all of not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah if you give less. It just sounds like that there was a takana instituted by Chazal that even though I may only have the capability to give less than that, I should really try to push to give a third of a shekel per year. So where did this not fulfilling the mitzvah come from? So the earliest source that we have is the Rambam. So if you turn the page to source number 12, last page. So the Rambam says, we discussed this Rambam when we talked about the maximum shear. He says, Bo ani vishal de machsoro. Ani comes and says, I need money. Ve'en yad anosein masega. So you don't have the financial ability to take care of everything. No sein lo kfiyas agas yado. You should give as much as you can. V'kama, how much is that? Ad chamishis nechasov mitzvah min amovchar. Up to a fifth of your assets is the best. V'echad me'asara b'nechasov beinani, and the middle of the road approach is a tenth. Pachos mikan ayin ra. After that, you're just being stingy. Ula olam, and in contrast to that, lo yimna atzmo mishlishis hashekel bashana. Even if you really are really, really stretched, you should really try very hard to give a third of a shekel per year. V'chol hanosein pachos mizeh lo kayim mitzvah. And if you don't give, if you give less than that, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. The Rambam is the one.
Is there a shekel on that?
No. So the question is, what is a shekel? Right. Yeah, so that'll be next time. How do we calculate a shekel? But what the Rambam is the first one to mention this idea that you do not fulfill the mitzvah. And then he continues, and we'll talk about this as well. Va'afilu ani hamisparneis min hatzdaka chayev litein tzedaka la'acher. And even a poor person has to give tzedaka to somebody else. Now, what does that mean, va'afilu? If he has a third of a shekel, so he should be giving that. So why do I need to say an afilu?
Should the receiver, since he's receiving, have to give as well?
Right,
he just received a third of a shekel. Does he have to give something?
So you're basically saying that's stupid to basically give what you would give away what you just got. Okay, so you're 100% right that sounds ridiculous. And we saw a couple weeks ago that the Rambam in his Igeres Teiman basically says it doesn't make sense that you'll give to someone and they'll give back to you. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's where the Rambam is coming from. But to just appreciate that. The mitzvah supply to everybody. And the Rambam went out of his way to say, by the way, if you give less than a third, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. So I would think that maybe I should be doing that. And the Rambam says, Va'afilu, ani amisparnis min hatzdaka, chayev litein tzedaka la'acher. It sounds like that a poor person, even if a third of a shekel is way more than 10% of his assets for the year, he has to give it to somebody else, and then he can go around and collect it back. You know, there was a story, I forget who it was. I think it was maybe Rav Chanan Wasserman, who...
when he came home?
I'm sorry?
When he came home, they don't give him a check because the check isn't there when he comes home.
Oh, no, that's a different gadol. I forget who that is. But there's a story in the Gemara that basically people would swap mishloach manos with each other.
Yes.
So Rav Chanan Wasserman said that when I was in yeshiva, we would take like a little cup, we would put a raisin in it and like a little piece of cake. We would give it to somebody and they would give it back to us. And then I would give it to somebody, you know, and that was it. And that was my mishloach manos. It was a whole zero sum game. One guy basically ended up with it. So it could be that that's what the Afilu is saying. That even though that's utterly ridiculous, there's still a mitzvah for you to do that. But just because it sounds ridiculous, maybe that's what the Torah, like, why do I need the Rambam to tell me it sounds ridiculous, but do it anyway? There are other mitzvahs also like that. There's something unique about staka that prompts the Rambam to say, logic may tell you this mitzvah doesn't apply here. We don't usually say that. But for some reason, and we'll have to talk about that, the Rambam seems to go out of his way to say, no, apply logic, and nevertheless, the Torah still says you have to do it. Just to spoil it a little bit, the Rugachever says that there might be a difference, because there's another place where the Rambam says we don't force an ani to give tzedakah. Well, we'll see that, and we'll see that maybe next time. There's another place that says that we don't force aniim to give tzedakah. So the Rugachever says maybe there's a difference between forcing an ani to give tzedakah and accepting it if he gives it out of his own volition. Maybe we don't force somebody to do this, but if they do, we're not gonna say no if they write a check. But that in itself is difficult to understand. Like, if there's an obligation to give tzedakah, so you have to give tzedakah. And if there's no obligation, then you don't. Right. So, what's he doing then? How is he fulfilling a mitzvah? So we'll have to talk about that. Right. So you could say that. So why not just say, look, you're an onus. I don't need your money. Like, don't give me your money. You're an onus. Now, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is klal. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah at all. The Rambam doesn't say klal. The Me'iri is the one that does. In source number 13, the Me'iri adds, ule'olam al yimna adam es atzma mishlishis ha-shekel b'chol shana ve'imgara lo kayim mitzvah tztaka derech klal. You did not fulfill it at all. If we just had the Rambam, you did not fulfill the mitzvah, maybe you fulfilled it a little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Half a mitzvah.
Maybe. I don't know. Also, the Rambam doesn't say what mitzvah. Now, it should be pretty obvious that it's tztaka.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
But maybe not. If you look in source number 17, the Emes LeYaakov, this is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Ramaz bazel lashon mitzvah. The Rambam is alluding to when he uses the word mitzvah, mishum de yelfin and mikra, because we learn it out from a pasuk, de v'ha'amidenu aleinu mitzvah, lasei shlishis ha-shekel. The Rambam uses the word mitzvah to clue you in to that Gemara in Baba Basra, meaning maybe it's not really the mitzvah of tzedakah. Maybe it's just a separate takana, and you didn't fulfill that mitzvah. What is that mitzvah? It's the mitzvah that they were talking about in Sefer Nehemiah. So that's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's suggestion. Most people don't learn like that. Most people say that, no, the Rambam is talking about tzedakah. So then the question becomes, how can Chazal just basically say, you're not Yotze? So there's a number of ways we can get around that. Any suggestions? How can, when the Torah says, give money, and the sages can say, that's not enough?
Well, it's like if you're eating bread and you eat less than kazayis, you say, you know, halacha l'moshe Sinai or something like that, but still, there is a shia for a lot of things, and if you don't meet that shia, you haven't satisfied the requirement.
Right. So you're mentioning this idea that there are measurements, that even when the Torah, the written Torah, doesn't say it, we have traditions about that. So look in source number 14. This is the Rav Chaim Kanievsky's commentary to the Rambam, called Derech Emuna, and he says, "Ula olam al yimna takanas chachamim hi." It is an institution of the sages. Depachos mikan lo yotze yidei hamitzvah. So the sages somehow intervened and said, "You're not yotze. You did not fulfill the mitzvah." So how is that? Go down to the next source. This is his footnotes. He says, from the pasuk v'amidenu aleinu mitzvos avol min haTorah ein lo shir klal. Says there's no shir. Umashakasav rabbeinu lo kaya mitzvah haynu midrabanan. He says no. On a biblical level, you did fulfill the mitzvah. It's just on a rabbinic level. Ube kiryat sefer, and in the sefer kiryat sefer, kosav, de'efshar shehu min haTorah, v'hilchasa gemiri. Maybe this pasuk is an asmachta to a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai or some tradition that we have. The kiryat sefer himself, though, doesn't even like that, and he falls back that this seems to be a dirabanan, that the sages just basically sort of stepped in. But not on a Doraisa level. When the Rambam is writing, on a rabbinic level. On a biblical level, you did fulfill the mitzvah. Rabbinically, we intervened. So that's one approach. One approach is to say, no, you did fulfill the biblical mitzvah of tzedakah. It's just rabbinic, and that's what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and all everybody else is talking about. And that's a little bit difficult because the Rambam doesn't say that. Another approach that people have is, just before we get to that, just as another support of Rav Rabinovich, in source number 16, he also says that it's rabbinic. He quotes a Shuvas HaGaonim from, the 800s or something. And he says, U'le'inyin staka nasnu chachamim shir lamata. Just like the chachamim gave a shir as a ceiling, we also gave a floor. Amar Rav Elazar, lo'olam al yifchas adam atzma mishlishis ha-shekel bashana. So the Rambam knew Gaonic literature, and so Rav Rabinovich says that's where they're coming from. It's all rabbinic. There are some suggestions, though, that maybe it could also be biblical. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there are some areas in halacha that the rabbis are allowed to define. Like the Torah says, you should sit in a sukkah. Torah doesn't say, what does it mean to sit? I have to sit in a chair, a bed, a couch. Like, can I walk around in this? Like, what does that mean? So, the Chachamim basically said, if the table is sticking out, you're not yotze. Now, some people say that's just on a rabbinic level, but Tosfos says no. Even biblically, you're not yotze, and the rabbis made that up. So, how could you do that? So, the Aruch HaShulchan, it is not the Aruch HaShulchan. Sorry, the Aruch Laner suggests that there are some mitzvos that Chazal are able to define what the Torah meant. When the Torah said you have to sit, so they said this is what sitting means. Not so many cases like that, but you could say the same thing over here. What does the Torah say? Give. Open your hand. Fill his need. So we're already not talking about where you're capable of filling their need. It's just opening my hand. So what does that mean then? If I can't address that person's need completely, so what am I expected to do? So the Chachamim could say, this is what you're expected to do. This is what the Torah meant. This is what we want. This is what we believe the Torah meant. So that's another option that you could say. And then the third, Rav Asher Weiss talks about this, not about tzedakah, but in other areas of halacha, which is that some shiurim were given to Moshe from Har Sinai. Some, though, were not. Some shiurim are not a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Some are things that the sages said, okay, this makes sense. And those are biblical. The Torah is Masar Koach L'Chachamim. The Torah authorized the sages to be able to create measurements. And so maybe you could say that here too. Maybe you could say that this is what the sages determined as a shir. If you ask me my personal interpretation of the Rambam right now, and as we'll see, there are other factors to consider, namely about the poor person giving, but just this particular line, I personally, and again, I know it's not the greatest, I personally like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's pshat. I personally feel that lo kaye mitzvah doesn't refer to the bona fide mitzvah of tzedakah midoraisa. It refers to a specific takana that Chazal made, that the Rambam is hearkening back to. And that's why he says, v'chol hanosein pachos mizeh, lo kayem mitzvah, has not fulfilled a mitzvah. Now, in the previous sections, it is true. The Rambam has said, mitzvah min hamuvchar, that the primary mitzvah. So, ideally, we should be saying it's the same thing. You know, we're all talking about the same mitzvah of tzedakah. What I would say, though, is that, yeah, there's the biblical mitzvah of tzedakah, and there's also a rabbinic sort of tier to the mitzvah of tzedakah. So you fulfilled the doraisa, but like Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, you just didn't fulfill the rabbinic level of tzedakah. So if somebody gives... I'm sorry?
It's a karla.
Yeah, so if you give less than a third of tzedakah a year, lo kayim mitzvah, you have not fulfilled this rabbinic version of the mitzvah of tzedakah. I still get credit for opening my hand. I still give credit for doing something. Meaning, and I want to just sharpen that by presenting a hypothetical case. Let's say I'm not capable of giving a third of a shekel per year, but I'm capable of giving an eighth of a shekel a year. And somebody who's even poorer than me comes and says, "Can you give me?" And I say no. Did I transgress the negative mitzvah of don't close your hand and don't close your heart? If you say that I did, well, what's the opposite of that? To give. But I'm not obligated. I didn't do anything. If I give an eighth of a shekel and that's it, I didn't do a mitzvah. So if I close my hand and I don't give that eighth, why should I be over alive? Why should Hashem say, "Oh, you didn't. You did an aveira." If I open my hand, I wouldn't be doing a mitzvah. So how is closing my hand an aveira? It must be that there's two separate things going on over here. There's the biblical mitzvah of opening your hand and giving. I don't care how much that amount is. Even if it's a penny the entire year, if I give that, I haven't transgressed a negative mitzvah. Did I fulfill the rabbinic version of the positive mitzvah? No. But I still get credit for the biblical level, maybe. And at the very least, I wasn't over a negative mitzvah. I wasn't over an aveira. So that's kind of how I see it. We'll stop here for today. What I want to do next time is to begin to talk about basically what a shekel is. I don't think we're going to go through everything because that would take a long time and it's not really our topic. What I envision doing is going through the Mefarshim on Hilchos Tzedakah that talk about their calculations, and we'll run some numbers and look at the price of silver. We'll see how much that is nowadays, and then we'll move on after that.
The Israeli